Mighty Thoughts Autobots.
They've got something new now. It's called the Press Box.
You're back in the Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Patrick Crean.
Hey, one in the box, two to go. Second hour of the show starts right now in the Press Box, ESPN 97.5, 92.5 FM. The Detroit Lions have cut defensive back Quentin Dunbar after missing the majority of camp so far with a, quote, personal issue. They have set him free after he spent last year and was fairly good for his resume with the Seattle Seahawks. Don't think the Texans are in the market for doing anything on that in that regard unless he's willing to take a very low financial short-term deal that Nick Caserio is trying to do for at least one more year. He would fit the mold if he was interested in that, but I'm sure there's going to be plenty of teams that will be looking at him to see if he's got anything left in the tank. I mentioned that more so because of the fact that their coach, if you've missed it, Dan Campbell, he's a little out there.
Just a little.
A little nuts.
He might bite your knees.
He started with the press conference Pat alluded to with some knee-biting potential. He was talking the other day about his caffeine consumption. So much so that he went into detail about his Starbucks order. Did you see this?
This is some hardcore caffeine and coffee here.
So, and I'm trying to bring up the article now, but essentially there's a guy on social media that decided he saw the press conference, he heard the sound bites, he heard about everything that Campbell said that he drinks in the morning, and he's like, I'm trying this. I'm going to go to TikTok, and I'm going to video it, and I'm going to do what I can to do what Campbell does. So, Campbell starts every day 40 ounces of coffee. But on top of that, he takes the 40 ounces of coffee and, should I say, boosts it with 4 espresso shots every morning. He recently revealed this during his press conference. So everyone is aware, 40 ounces of coffee and 4 espresso shots is 1,100 milligrams of caffeine, or the equivalent of drinking 10 Red Bulls. The FDA daily limit suggestion for an average human being is 400 milligrams per day. He's going to the 1,100.
Now, when they say 10 Red Bulls, I'm assuming they're talking about the little can, the 8.4 can. That's usually the one I have. I started trying this new brand of drink here because found it. It's was recommended by a few people. It's sugar-free.
How many milligrams of caffeine in that little bad boy right there?
This is 200 milligrams of caffeine in a 12-ounce can. And I will,
6 of those, Pat.
I will drink one of those in a day. And you already know how hyper I am after I drink this.
Yeah.
To drink 2 in a day would be absolute, like, max Q.
So he's at 6. A little less than 6.
To drink 5.5 of those, I think I might be dead.
Aaron Raybould, you have a energy drink in your hand.
I have a Bang energy drink that is 300 milligrams of caffeine, which on the can gives a disclaimer, hey, you are drinking 2 full cups of coffee with as much caffeine as that is in this can.
So you're
and I always have at least a cup and a half, 2 cups of coffee a day.
3.5 of those to get in the Campbell range.
Yep.
Okie dokie. So the guy, content creator on TikTok, Zach Schwartz, decided he was going to give it a go. So he did it a different way. He didn't want just the he didn't want 1 40-ounce coffee with the extra shots in it. He got 2 iced coffees with 2 shots in each one, broke it up into 2 drinks, started drinking them on his way home from Starbucks. By the time he had gotten 3/4 of the first one down, he said he was already feeling very, very shaky, unstable, felt some anxiety, kept filming. Next thing you know, next video, he's in bed, covers up almost to the chin, and he goes, screw that. I'm not even going to the second one. I just finished the first one. I'm so unstable and going through anxiety attacks, I don't even want to stand up and get out of bed.
I would tell you that, you know, on days where I've gone really hard in caffeine, like if it was going to be like a really long day, if I had a, you know, a long drive or something like that, I might get up to about 400 or 500 milligrams of caffeine. I also know that that night, I'm going to crash in my bed like an absolute dead dog.
I really thought you were, instead of crash, you were going a different direction. Because that's the other thing he said. He said, by the way, halfway through the first one, he goes, it's not there yet, but I can assure you I will be in the restroom shortly.
Oh, well, coffee is liquid laxative. Let's just call it what it is. And you're drinking 40 ounces. The average person who drinks coffee drinks 27. You're drinking 40 ounces of coffee and then 4 espresso shots. So let's call it like 48 ounces?
I was going to say about 48.
48 ounces of coffee. Yeah, you might as well just eat the entire X-Lax bar all by yourself.
Yeah, good luck with just that. The 4 espresso shots alone is going to do something to you and have you feeling some kind of way. But when you talk about that, like, because with my reflux and everything like that, I normally will have one venti Americano, venti iced Americano in the morning. That's it. But lately, with everything we've been going through, with the lineup changes and all the other things we've had to do after our show hours and everything, and then with the family duties, the kid duties and everything like that, there's been a couple days straight where I told you this, that I went to a second one in the afternoon, either before our show or during our show. I mean, at 11 o'clock at night, I am like bug-eyed wide open and sitting there going, oh my God, this is crazy. And then what really freaked me out the other night was I was watching the Astros game and I was sitting with the kids at the table before I went into the other room to watch it, and we were trying to get ready for bed. And I turned quickly talking to the kids. And you know how you sometimes turn quickly and if the sun's still shining through the window and it catches you the right way, it has like that shadow that's left on your eye for like a couple seconds. 30 minutes later, it was still there. And I'm like, Lisa, this is weird. And she starts doing a little, and she goes, you know, you had that second, essentially 5-shot Americano today, right?
Super coffee.
I go, yeah. She goes, you realize no matter how good your blood pressure is, because my blood pressure, I get it checked every week. It's perfect. She goes, you didn't drink a lot of water today either, did you? I go, no, because I was drinking these iced coffees. She's like, the combination of those two coffees, no water, and the fact that you were running around and you're probably dehydrated, she goes, that probably boosted your blood pressure and it also has an effect on your sight. I'm like, okay, cold turkey. That's it. I'm done with coffee. I have not had another coffee the rest of the week. We're at Thursday. I think I'm on day 3 now. The headaches are gone. That was the first day. And I've done this before. Periodically, I will just shut it down on coffee for a couple of weeks. And I really haven't noticed that big of a difference yet. But I'll tell you what, this is insane, 1,100 milligrams.
How irritated are you going to be come the weekend when you're getting off caffeine? Are you going to be edgy and easily irritated by the time we get to Saturday?
I don't think so. I've done this before. I have the ability, if I want, because I was never a coffee drinker, and then Lisa being in news, and no matter what my schedule is like for the Rockets, working morning, noon, and night, I just was never a big coffee guy. And I could have one in the morning because, you know, if you souped it up the right way, it would taste good. And then I realized when I was getting what I used to get at Starbucks, that it was like the equivalent of eating a Big Mac. And I'm like, okay, I'm out on that. But because in the newsroom, because she was always, if there was a big story, breaking news, whatever, coffee, 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 coffee. So she drank it all the time and I liked the smell of it. But to be honest with you, it's like, and I'm going to offend Aaron with this. I grew up in Milwaukee, but growing up.
That's offensive.
Growing up, the smell of beer and the taste of beer was like, it wasn't great. But then when you got high school, college, you realized it had other purposes, and so you drank beer. But coffee, to me, smells amazing. It's just disappointing. It never tastes the way it smells. But I like it enough to where I started drinking it, but I can cut it up.
I'm with you. I like the way coffee smells. I don't like the taste of coffee.
Yeah, see, there's a lot of people that feel that way.
I don't drink coffee. I don't really drink anything hot, but I don't drink coffee. So that's why, you know, I will drink, you know, one of these energy drinks in the middle of the day because, you know, I have to watch the amount of sugar that I take in. So I try to drink everything I drink, I try to drink that sugar-free. And I don't know how anybody drinks coffee without putting some kind of sweetener in it, because, ugh.
I agree with that, too. Black coffee drinkers, I will never understand. Just never. Are you, now, Aaron, you're chuckling, but I know you're a beer drinker and a coffee drinker, so tell me.
No, I don't drink it black. I add for a while I would add about a tablespoon of sugar, but then when I started trying to slim down when the Rona hit last year, I went to Equal, because Equal doesn't have, like, my wife has always drank Sweet and Low. That has a weird aftertaste to me, yes, no matter what you put it in.
Yep.
So I went and I was like, all right, well, let me try some other zero calorie stuff. And so I went with Equal, and now I put, I'll have a 12 ounce cup of coffee every morning, the first thing when I wake up. And I put usually two or three Equal packets in there. But I know Fred drinks his black. So you can ask him about that today and tomorrow.
Ooh, really?
Yeah.
That's, like,
he's a man.
Lisa tipped me off to this almond creamer. But it's, I forget the name of it. It's got the purple cap on it. But because I know they have the caramel one, which isn't bad either. And the vanilla. I used to always go the vanilla route. But it's this, it's like, it's called sweet cream or something like that, but it's almond. Dude, that stuff is all world. Like, then coffee tastes great to me, iced or hot. But I always, with reflux and everything, and Lance has more severe issues with reflux than I do. Like, his voice peters out. Mine is a lot of times with either spicy foods or starchy stuff, in which I get, my windpipes get a little bit congested, shall we say. But that's why I only go to one coffee in the morning and then I'm done. But like I said, lately I upped it and now I've got to cut it out. I got to go cold turkey for a little bit and I'm going to go on a cleanse. But I don't think it'll bother me like that.
Yeah. See, I don't know. I can't do coffee. I can tell you, when I was younger, I used to drink the Monster Energy drinks.
Elisa does those too. The white can.
Yep, well, that's what I do.
The one that I used to drink was a black can with green lettering on it.
The original.
Uh-huh. Yeah, the original.
Normally,
right.
I would drink one, and you drink one, you feel like Superman. The first time it happened to me, I was driving home from Atlantic City. It was like 4 in the morning. I was tired. And I drank two. And the reflux I got from that stuff was brutal. And I was like, all right, I'm never drinking two of these again, because horrible reflux. And I try. All right, so that's kind of when I started going into like Red Bull. Mm-hmm. And I started off on Red Bull with the super giant can, and you drink two of those a day and you just be super hyper, because in the mortgage business, we were always super hyper. You were on your phone from 7:30 in the morning till midnight, like nonstop. I had two different headsets so that when the battery died in one, I switched to the other. You burned 25,000 minutes a month. It was insane. Not living that life.
What was it? Coffee's for closers?
Coffee's for closers. What, first place is a Cadillac Eldorado. Second place is a set of steak knife. Third place is your fired.
Harvey Keitel, right?
That's Alex Baldwin who
I know, not the line, but wasn't Harvey Keitel in that too?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. That movie has... Glengarry Glen Ross is one of the most underrated movies of all. That movie is phenomenal.
All right, well, a little coffee talk for you as we continue to hour two. Talk amongst yourselves for a few minutes. I'm feeling beclempt. We'll come back and we'll talk about a whole lot more here on the Press Box on ESPN. Yeah. I'm just really trying not to really do
the fool way. I don't have... Well, hello! To call into the HR&P listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Disappointed by your HR and payroll technology? Maybe you need to outsource your administration. Go to HRP.net to learn more.
Teardrops.
You're listening to The Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Patrick Creighton.
Hey, rolling through second hour of the program on The Press Box, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 FM, as it's Patrick, Aaron, and myself. All the way up until 4 o'clock. Is it Fred and Friends today? It is Fred and Friends with the friend next to me.
It is, in fact.
You're going marathon
show,
on me.
I'm sitting right here, and I'm going to be doing Fred and Friends. It'll be Fred and I taking you through to 7 o'clock.
You will be
very hungry,
indulging in another one of those beverages.
Nope, this is the only one I brought so that I would only drink one.
Okay.
Because right. If I knew if I brought a second one, I would definitely chug the second one.
Someone to try a 5-hour energy chased by a Diet Coke. No thanks.
I don't like 5-hour energy.
They work, though.
I don't like the way they taste, and I don't like the crash I get afterwards.
What? Well, that's what everybody tips you off to. Like, they work to do what their intended task is, which is immediately give you a jolt of energy, but then the crash is pretty ridiculous.
They don't work on me anymore, because when I was at Discount Tire, every Saturday, of course, is the day that it got balls to the wall insane. And so eventually one guy brought in a case of 5-hour energies and he was like, look, you know, usually like you show up at 7 a.m. You don't open until 8. Everybody, like, we have a big team meeting. Everybody's eating their breakfast. The doors open at 8 and you just fly out and everybody's running 100 miles an hour to make sure you keep up with the demand. But then around 11 o'clock, you start to crash. So one dude went down to the corner store and bought a whole case of 5-hour energies and gave them out. Well, then we had a team of 14 guys, anywhere from 19 to 25 years old, that were literally drinking 4 or 5 of these 5-hour energies in a 10-hour day. And eventually it just stopped working on all of us, and we would go, yeah, I'm drinking it, but all I get is the stupid little fruity flavor out of it. I don't get any energy. So now, no matter how many of them I drink, nothing happens.
It's kind of like your immune system with anything else. I mean, at a certain point, I mean, it's even with medications. That's why at a certain point, doctors say they got to find you either a different company, a different manufacturer, a different way of going about it. Even with reflux meds, they said doctors used to always say, because I started with the over-the-counter stuff, the Prilosec and all that, and they're like, at a certain point, your body's going to get immune to it, and we're going to have to move you on to something else.
For years, I used to have to my doctor had me take Pepcid, one every day. Didn't matter if I was having symptoms or not, but it was to prevent having symptoms because I used to have it all the time. And I took a Pepcid every day for like 9 years.
Is that good for your system?
Well, I'll tell you what, I don't really get reflux anymore. Outside of if I know I eat too much of a specific trigger food, I don't have reflux issues anymore. So, you know, that helped. That was part of it. I could tell you that it beforehand, when I would look at the scoreboard and see the A's are beating the Indians 10-0 in the sixth, I would probably get reflux. Then I'd see the Phillies leading the Dodgers 2-1 in the sixth, and I'd feel a little better.
I got it. I see what you're doing. See, here's the thing.
Brewers are beating the Cubs.
I'm not worried about it. I'm not. Everybody thinks I'm a Brewers fan. Sure, I would love them to win the National League, but I'm an Astros fan. Even all my buddies and family back home get annoyed by that. But I'm not a Brewer fan anymore. I'm an Astros fan, and that's one that's ever since I've been down here, I've been a big Astros fan. So I mean, I want them to win. I'd rather have them than the. I was talking to someone on Twitter, was getting in all personal on all this stuff with the Brewers, thinking I was a Brewer fan. I was like, look. Wouldn't you rather have the Astros playing the Brewers in the World Series than the Dodgers? Okay, then. Well, I'd love to see the Brewers run the table on the National League. I just would rather see the Astros win it all.
Mets got to win today.
Yeah, so you were giddy about that.
Well, yeah, they're playing doubleheader day against the Nats, and they won the first game. Dude, Marcus Stroman is 8-11, and he has a 2.79 ERA. What's wrong with that picture?
Well, but your man won the Cy Young with the record that he had because of the fact that it's pretty much par for the course if you're a Mets pitcher, that you can put up good numbers in terms of your earned run average and all the other statistics, but the win losses are not going to be in your favor.
The Mets bullpen has been straight garbage for years. It's amazing how bad their pen is. Even when they go out and they sign guys, they trade for guys, these guys are great everywhere. They come to New York, and it's like, how can we invent ways to blow games? Yeah, that's life as a Mets pitcher.
So there's that. Yeah, no, in terms of the whole reflux thing, it runs in my family, but no one ever knew what it was. And I actually went to an ears, nose, and throat doctor when I was with the Rockets because they were telling me something about Akeem had to go see the guy for once, and they were like, you know, you should really, and I had no idea. And all of us, I thought it was going to be a long, drawn-out process. He had me sit down. He, like, used the tongue depressor thing. He started looking around. It literally took him, like, a minute and a half, and he goes, yeah, you got reflux. I was like, that quickly? And he goes, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. But it's different for different people. Like, Lance, his voice gives out at a certain point, and I think his is more not. I don't think his is much centered or triggered around what your intake is or what certain foods do it. For me, certain foods do it. They said it's supposed to be like spicy foods. It's not essentially for me. It's not as much the spice as it's the starch.
Acidic foods. And things.
It's what?
It's acidic foods too. If you eat foods that are high in acid, and, tomato sauce. That's and for somebody who grew up in an Irish Italian family where cooking is a big deal and usually made enough to feed an army, and grew up on various different pot of gravy on Sunday, and tomato sauce for everybody else is gravy to the Italians. So when you're used to having the big pot of red sauce and you're just like, okay, how much pasta can we eat? Or you're banging down baked ziti or lasagna or whatnot, and then all of a sudden an hour later you're like, agita, heartburn. It's coming. So it was hard to give a lot of that stuff up. I had to give up a lot of that stuff. You have to change a lot of the diet. Getting old sucks. Don't get old. Getting old absolutely sucks. Stuff stops working right. You wake up and, it sounds like, you're popping all the plastic bubbles every time you get up. Shoulder pops. Your knee pops. Dude, it sucks. Don't do it. Stay young. Just keep drinking.
It'd be ideal if you could, but you can't, so you won't.
Don't stop playing sports. You know what? When I gave in to the wife's request to stop playing sports, I got old in a hurry. And now I feel it more every day. And if I then try to go play something, I'll be sore for days. It sucks. Don't do it. Keep playing. Play till you break.
Well, I'm still playing 3 hours of hoops every Saturday morning. And I thought that Lisa's family, especially when we had kids, was going to help her kibosh all of that. And her dad, who's was a high school football and wrestling coach, she was like, until he breaks down or has issues, let him keep doing it.
Look, dude, keep playing. Do not stop. Keep playing.
And I love playing. I look forward to it. It's like, it's funny, the guys that we've been playing with, we've all had at least high school or college experience, some even more than that. Sean Respert plays with us, who was the all-time leading scorer in the Big Ten. And we get real competitive games, but we don't fight, and we all get along. And it's like the guys look forward to it from a camaraderie standpoint and the crap talking and then just the life talking as much as all the games, that guys plan their whole week around, I can't miss hoops. And that's when you have some fun with them. Barry Warner played hockey till he was like 70, until he finally had his 95th surgery, I think. But yeah, I mean, there are people, just depending on the sport you love, that keep playing it.
I mean, back to my Discount Tire days, we had, so every Sunday it's closed, so, and we all played on a, there were four or five of us that played on a adult rec league basketball team through a church league during the week, but then we would also get up every Sunday morning, and we were all young, we were all single, and we all had money because we got paid very well to do a lot of hard manual labor. So every Saturday night was the same. Hey, we're going Wings and More right down the street. They'll serve everybody. We're going to sit there and we're just going to drink all night. And that's what we did. Every Saturday and every Sunday, we would wake up and we would drive out to Fairfield, where all the older guys who were in their 40s and 50s would be playing pickup games, and we'd, go in and run in a couple of games. And all of a sudden, of course they're older, so their bodies are breaking down. We're still young, but it evened the playing field because we're sweating out a hangover, and they can smell how much we drank the night before as we sweat, whereas they just can't jump like they used to. So it evened out the playing field between you had a bunch of 21, 22, 23-year-olds versus a bunch of 40 and 50-year-olds playing
basketball.
But that's
the thing that was always confusing to me, like mind-boggling, right? So when I was working with the Rockets early on, we made friends with all the Miller guys. So we had all the Miller guys, and they were, similar in age, a little older than us, but, first of all, they were the Miller guys. So the hookups were, hey, we're having this Miller sponsoring this party. You guys need to be here. Miller's going to the Cowboys game this weekend. We're all going, blah, 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 blah. But the thing was, the next day, we were shot and we were young. And these guys were out running 3 to 5 miles and working out and doing all these things. And I'm like, how do you do? And they're like, think about it, man. You do these things on like maybe Thursday, Friday, Saturday night. We're doing them like almost every day. So we have to find some means of trying to clear it out of our system, and otherwise we would be an unadulterated mess. And so I gave them a ton of credit. Like, to drink the way that we used to drink when we were first here in Houston, when I first got to Houston, and then know that these guys were out the next morning in the heat sweating it out for 5 miles and then going to the gym, I was like, man, good for you. That's crazy to me. So we've covered caffeine and we've covered things that need medical attention.
Well, speaking about losing a step.
I was going to say.
Things that getting older, slow you down. Step.
Yeah, if you slow down and you need some help in the weight room, the boardroom, the bedroom, or you just need some help with energy, you got to go see the good people at Apollo Men's Health. You go to Apollo Men's Health, Dr. O's going to treat you right. Dr. O used to work at the other clinics. He knows what works, what doesn't want to waste your time. So he's going to get you right down to the brass tacks of what's going to get you results. Men and women, there's hormone therapy, and you can do it weekly by visiting the clinic. You can do it at home, and they'll teach you how. Or you can, if you're a man, get cutting-edge pellet testosterone therapy where you only have to go in every 6 months, but you reap all the benefits, get all the energy. If you get in a workout program started, full body composition analysis is the machine you need to get on. It only lasts about 60 seconds where you stand on like a glorified scale, but you get a full readout of your body fat, all the percentages, and what you need to work on. Want to recover quicker? It's HGH peptide therapy. But bottom line is, see the people at Apollo Men's Health. It starts with that first visit. Go to apollomh.com and book it. You'll find out most major insurance is accepted, discounts for military personnel, first responders. Mention my name, free B12 shot on your first visit, and then let the process go from there. Tough questions, if you give them honest answers, they're going to find your results. Your health is your wealth. Invest in yourself. Go see the people at Apollo Men's Health.
Like fruit, ooh, wet like water. Can I love on you? Withdrawals, I'm feeling different. Every day I need a dose. Every now and then I'm missing. I got my...
This is Heisman Trophy winner and College Football Hall of Fame, Mike Rozier. And you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
This is the Press Box on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Patrick Crean.
Well, boys, if you build it, they will come. And we're going to find out tonight, kind of, sort of. If you missed it, Field of Dreams is a reality this evening, as the Yankees and the White Sox head to Iowa for the first time, a major league game going to be played in Iowa. But there's a caveat. See, I don't like this because I was thinking about this when they started talking about this whole idea and they're going back to the throwback uniforms from the movie and everything else. But I was anticipating they were going to play on that field where it's right up by the house, just like we saw in the movie. Oh, no, 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 no. That's available for viewing, for walking on, for being a part of the whatever you have to pay to go see the Field of Dreams. They built past the left field cornfield of the original Field of Dreams, essentially a minor league park, seats about 8,000 people. Still has the cornfield behind the wall and the bullpen that has lights on it. It has a scoreboard. So they are and they aren't. But it's going to be on Fox National tonight. And Thursday Night Baseball, essentially, is going to be from Iowa for the Field of Dreams game. Your thoughts?
So 8,000 people can watch this way.
By the way, they're saying prices for this are World Series level on secondary market.
This is like their version of the Winter Classic in the NHL, where they play the outdoor game, on the ice. Only 8,000 people are going to be able to do this, so your ticket prices are going to be absolutely insane. And, you know, it's one thing that baseball may have actually been able to market right, because God knows they can't market their sport or their players. But maybe they've marketed this game pretty well, and they're going to televise the hell out of it, of course. Look, it's kind of cool that, hey, we're going to do something that, you know, kind of blends sports and pop culture together, and it brings attention to the game. And to me, anything that brings positive attention to baseball is good. That being said, there's a reason why nobody ever has Field of Dreams as one of their top five baseball movies.
Whoa, time out.
If you like movies that move at absolutely glacial freaking pace.
Whoa, love that movie.
It's slow as hell.
Patrick,
it's way too damn
slow.
This
is why you had a mullet and banged your head. Because you knocked something off kilter. The scene alone, anybody that played baseball from little on, the scene alone went, hey, son, would you like to have a catch? Now, we never called it having a catch, But based on whatever relationship kids have had in their lives with their fathers, that one right there, if it don't get you, nothing will.
Well, it never got me. You know how many times I played catch with my father? Probably zero. Don't think I ever played catch with my father. My dad wasn't a baseball guy. Baseball was me on my own. I went and learned baseball and continued to play, and some of my mechanics were wrong all the way up through high school, and then they got corrected.
You would think that would hit you more then.
Yeah. No, it didn't. I'm sorry. The movie moves so damn slow, I'm not interested. There has to be the entertainment value of that movie takes too damn long to pay off.
Oh, you got to be out of your mind.
Glaciers move faster than Field of Dreams. Sorry. Overrated baseball movie of all time, Field of Dreams.
Well, now you started this. So while we're out at East End Backyard tomorrow, I expect all three of us to have a list of top five baseball movies and then top five general sports movies, because you now just opened up a can of worms. So now I want to see exactly what your top fives are, so then we can diagnose where it is that you're...
Are you a Major League guy?
Major League's a great movie. It's hilarious. Bull Durham is a great movie. The Natural is one of the best movies. 8 Men Out is a great movie.
Talk about a slow movie, The Natural.
The Natural is a great movie.
God, you know, who needs freaking... If you have insomnia, watch The Natural.
If you're not... You're telling me you like Field of Dreams and you didn't like The Natural.
I put Field of Dreams above The Natural. Easy.
Not a chance.
What is wrong with
you? A League of Their Own. Absolutely phenomenal baseball movie. You know, and notice, I just went through five movies. None of them were Field of Dreams. 61 is a great movie. 42 is a great movie. Not Field of Dreams. Not For Love of the Game. Not The Babe. Pride of the Yankees is a great movie, especially when you consider the era in which it was made.
Is For the Love of the Game the Costner Tigers pitcher movie?
Yeah, the one where he's like the fake Jack Morris.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How can you think that way? True story, by the way, that at least one third of my college baseball team was in the original Major League, and it was filmed in Milwaukee. I've told this on the Suspects, I think it was, before, but I wanted to finish school on time. I got accepted. Midway through our season, it was like my freshman, sophomore year, they sent out memos to all the college coaches in the state and said, if your players are interested in auditioning for roles in a movie we're going to be filming in Milwaukee, we need headshots, bios, whatever. I got accepted. And I was supposed to be where a lot of my teammates were. And I'm like, this movie and blah, blah. You know what? And my parents were like, just go. No, you're going to summer school. You're going to finish summer school. You're going to finish on time. So you can. I'm sure they wanted to get me out of the house too. But they were like, so you can do what you got to do. Every time I see it now, I can just go, well, there's our third baseman. There's our shortstop. There's our catcher. There's blah, blah, blah. All these guys forever are going to be in this flick. I went to summer school.
What did they make for the movie?
I don't think there was anything about making money.
Like,
I think it was
bucks
more.
Because
all the fans in Milwaukee, they would tell you, like, the extras today are going to be in these sections, and it would look like it was a full house, but it was only a couple sections that they would allow people to be in. And it's just like when they filmed Tin Cup here. You're just being, as an extra, it's the bonus of being able to say you were in the movie, but you aren't getting paid for it.
Yeah, it's something you can say. All right, how many movies do I need to put on my SAG after card? I need to do three. Okay, well, here's one.
Our third baseman was the third baseman for the – our third baseman and shortstop were the third baseman and shortstop for the Indians. My catcher was the catcher for the Yankees, one of the catchers for the Yankees. So it is pretty cool.
That is pretty cool. I mean, Major League was what, 80?
Just the first Major League, though. Everything after that was not good.
Was it 89?
It was like it had to be around 90, 91 because that was my freshman. Yeah. No, I'm sorry. Yeah, 89, right.
Yeah, yep. I was going into my junior year of high school. Dude, I love that movie. Love that movie.
And it had Uke in it. And so Major League, I'm not going to argue with. The only one I'm arguing with you on is freaking Field of Dreams. Field of Dreams, James Earl Jones? Man, it's a great movie.
Okay, so now that we're back to Field of Dreams and we're talking about ticket prices, would you like to know the cheapest you can get into this game tonight?
I'm going to guess $400.
Oh, no, you're going higher.
Higher than $400.
World Series prices. Guess? I'm going $1,500.
The cheapest ticket, row 35, down the left field line for $13.95.
I was close.
No, for a regular season game between the Yankees and the White Sox.
Keep in mind, you have, 17 total sections, and it starts at first base and wraps all the way around until you get all the way down the left field line, and that's it.
for $1,400.
There's no outfield seats, I know, because there's a bullpen in the cornfield. Nothing
past first base. You have literally just that, and it's not two tiered. It's just one set of stands.
They built the minor league ballpark. They built Constellation Field.
Now wait a minute.
Constellation Field has a second.
Did they build it just for this game?
No, I mean, like the outfield. There's no seating in the outfield. There's the grass. There's the pool. There's a little playground, but there's no seating in the outfield.
No, there's no bleachers or anything.
But did they build this Field of Dreams field just for this game? Because it looks like a minor league team should play there. And because I was thinking about this, this game has implications on the playoffs. White Sox, obviously, at the top of the American League. Yankees fighting to get in a wild card. And I'm thinking, God, don't be on a like some rinky-dink amusement park type situation where one team's going to look back at that game. But then I saw when they started doing the features on the field that it's not the original field. And then I'm going, well, does a minor league team play there? And they just do all of that construction just for this game.
They did it, I think, just because remember, this was supposed to happen last year.
That's right. COVID got in.
They just stopped doing it. And I think that's what they did is they took a whole year and said, all right, we're going to build something from scratch and get it done. Because they were planning on, from what I remember, they were going to build like 10 rows deep all around, and that was about it. And I think then they decided to up it and get more people in to make some more money off of it. But yes, I'm 99% sure that they built this just for this game.
Really?
Because the funny thing was,
then it would think, because here's the other thing, is this part of a series? Is it like a three-game series? Because then they're going to have to travel after the game, I would assume, to Chicago to finish the series, if it's a weekend series. It can't just be a one-game thing.
I would think they're going to do this every year, but it is a temporary stadium. It's not a permanent fit. It's a temporary stadium that holds 8,000 people. I guess they're going to do this as a regular thing. So
people were saying there's five other fields around the country that they should do this on Doubleday Field for Abner Doubleday, and there's some other fields.
I don't know the Doubleday Field. I mean, I've been to Doubleday Field. It's been a long time. It's in Cooperstown. I'm just trying to think. I don't know that a field is big enough for a major league game.
Well, every year they do the one game that's on ESPN Sunday Night Baseball at the hall. Is it at the Hall of Fame or is that the Little League World Series? No, it's at the Little League World Series now because they have a regulation field as well as all the Little League fields.
Yeah,
and so that's in Williamsport. In Williamsport, right. No, but I'm just saying they do that game as one of those kind of gimmicky games. But I'm looking at the schedule.
They used to have the games at here on Bithorn Stadium in Puerto Rico where they play like that little Puerto Rican series. And the dimensions at that stadium are not really major league dimensions. So the score is usually pretty high because the outfield fences aren't that deep. It's 300 feet to left, 350 to center, and 315 to right.
And that's longer than it is at the original Field of Dreams field, FYI.
Yeah.
By the way,
350 to center, they're going to be some runs.
They are off tomorrow. So what they did was travel day tomorrow to Chicago to finish the Saturday-Sunday games in Chicago, but the Sox and Yankees tonight in Iowa. Isn't the Iowa Cubs an affiliate?
Yes, they are.
So I would think, if you go all this trouble to build this kind of stadium, and literally there's a fairly, it's not a monster scoreboard by any means, but it's a digital scoreboard in left field and everything like that, just for one game? Boy, the sponsor dollars must be absolutely.
Oh, okay, here, hold
Geico
on.
And others must be paying through the,
I had it wrong. The dimensions I gave you were the Field of Dreams
field. Yeah, the Field of Dreams field. That's what
so
I thought.
So the stadium they're going to play in tonight is 335 to left and right, 400 to center, and 380 in the alleys. So they're going to play with like real current major league dimensions, maybe even a little deeper to left and right down the lines. Could you imagine 350 to dead center?
Especially with the Yankees big boppers now.
Well, that's why I was looking it up when you said that. I started looking up because I was like, oh, there might be good money throwing it on the over. The total is 9.5 runs. So
still might get the over.
Yeah. 350 to center. It'd be nine
oh, 350 to center. I'd probably six put a paycheck third inning. On it.
Clarence is upset, by the way. None of the three of us mentioned Sandlot.
I didn't mention a list yet.
Oh, we're doing so Aaron's going to try it. You're like my wife.
Sandlot's always my number one.
All right. Unpopular take on the Sandlot.
Another one.
On the other side.
Stay tuned for that and more. It's the Press Box ESPN.
97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports. Listening to the Press Box on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Patrick Creighton.
Hey, rolling through our number 2 3-hour program, Press Box, ESPN 97.5, 92.5, as they are now live on MLB Network from the Field of Dreams. Actually, I think that's the original field that they are going to be doing, like, batting practice on or screwing around on pregame, but they're not going to be in the actual other stadium. Someone said, well, if the tickets are 8,000 seats and Aaron says they're around $1,400, that's about 11.2 mil. No, it's not, because that's not the price of the tickets as established on the original, whoever, I guess it's the White Sox ticket department. That's the secondary market. It would be great
that would be
for
a
everyone.
StubHub.
Yeah, it'd
this
be fantastic if everyone sold their tickets
half.
On StubHub for those prices. Then you could imagine how much money would be made. But sponsors are the reason why they're doing this, and because they're putting it on national TV. They had like kids' clinics yesterday on the original field by that house, in which A-Rod and all the Fox, Big Poppy, they were all helping the kids out. So it's a big, you know, it's a big media junket in the whole world.
I mean, it's a giant marketing thing.
Yeah,
and
sure.
It's not a bad one.
I think it's cool.
Your thoughts on the Nike swoosh on the jersey, the throwback jerseys for the game, that apparently has been a topic of consternation for some.
I mean, if you are the official uniform provider for Major League Baseball and you have paid your money and this is a regular season Major League Baseball game, you have the right to put the swoosh on the uniform. I'm sorry. It's been happening. Look, we had plenty of throwback nights in plenty of stadiums around Major League Baseball, and as part of it, they all have a swoosh somewhere on the uniform.
I don't see why it's a big deal. I mean, well, it's supposed to. It is. They're wearing, you know, the White Sox jerseys from, you know, basically the 1919
or whatever.
The 1920s.
Are people going to bitch that it's actually that new, like, lighter material and it's not
like
the
a dry
thick
fit baseball uniform?
Cotton?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not the 2-inch thick wools. You could sweat to death in it.
Yeah, they should be playing in that. Damn
hey,
it.
You know what? They're not wearing the old style glove, which is basically just like a big
Charlie
giant
Brown.
Wad of padding.
The Charlie Brown
mitt. How dare the catcher actually have protective equipment
yeah,
besides
Yeah, you have
a mask.
To field grounders with two hands and catch
and
fly
cup.
Balls with two hands because it was just basically just a big pad and then you. Lock it in. That's just, at some point, people always want to go too far. And if the swoosh symbol is what's
swoosh.
Breaking for you, yeah, you've definitely jumped the shark at that point.
Well, because if anybody's going to have any kind of issues with anything, the Yankees have been the most hyper-protective of their uniforms forever. They've never changed. They're forever in a day in terms of who could reproduce and sell authentic Yankee jerseys they controlled, and they wouldn't allow very few companies. Then they did it so that it wasn't – you could tell it wasn't authentic because you see all these dumbass Yankees fans – sorry, Pat – that are in the –
I'm not a Yankees fan. They're dumbasses. F them.
But I'm saying they wear the white pinstripe but have the name across the back. And don't realize real Yankee jerseys don't
never
have the name across the back.
Name. I like when you see them and it says like Ruth,
yeah.
Gary. It's like, those guys never had names. There was a period in time they didn't have numbers.
Right.
And the amount of fraud Yankee fans there are is quite high. Yes, this is Black Sox era jerseys. In the movie Field of Dreams, remember, he sees Shoeless Joe. Mm-hmm. He sees the other members from that team. So that is the era jersey that the White Sox are wearing.
Yeah, and they're very cool. Ray Liotta did a hell of a job in that movie. That was absolutely fantastic and better than The Natural. And most of you people texting are agreeing with me, and I like that. And they also are agreeing that the scene in which Have a Catch was mentioned, they get them every time and they cry. So you can make all your sappy and other negative comments about it, but it's way better than taking a stupid hot gun and putting a lightning bolt on a bat, Wonder Boy.
Teaching someone how to make their own bat was cool as hell. And that is actually what went on in, like, that era of baseball. Not everybody had, like, a bat contract. A Louisville slugger wasn't out there producing bats for everybody. That's a really cool part of, like, something like, you know, rural area. Guys making their own bats
with
his dad.
So it's not really cool perfecting your skills at the game, taking batting practice, playing catch with your old man, and working on field and grounders. But what's really cool is if you got, what do you call that, the spindle or whatever that spins the wood so that you could make your own bat, that would be the cool part, Pat?
When the movie actually, like, moves at, like, a pace and things happen, that's the really cool part. You know,
what do you call that thing?
Standing around there doing nothing, it's boring.
Wood lathe or whatever it was that spins it so that you could make your own bat and put your little lightning bolt on it. And then, sure, I'm really sure he hit the light post and it really did shatter the lights and make all the lights go out. And it was dramatic and
it was
slow as hell.
It was exciting.
Don't tell me about slow. This is a race between the tortoise and a turtle.
Oh, when he hits the ball in the outfield, knocks the cover off the ball starts unwinding and the guys, they're trying to put it all back together. That's a funny scene. It's a great scene.
You found humor in it.
Yes.
Most people found a chance to take a nap.
No, I don't think so.
By the time
that
damn ball unwound.
That's why it's considered one of the best baseball movies of all time.
Is it, though?
It is.
On what list?
On Major League Baseball's list.
And by the way, none of you have any right to chime in after Brother Bear and others suggested things like Mr. 3000.
Oh, banned.
Rookie of the Year.
Stop it.
I mean, what's next? Angels in the Outfield? That's ludicrous.
Can we get John Goodman playing the Babe? You know, is that going to be on the list?
Although he kind of did a good job with that.
The movie was
I'm not saying that, but John
so
Goodman
terrible.
Fits the role of the Babe very well.
Maybe they get Summer Catch on there.
Summer Catch, Freddie Prinze Jr. It was a good movie.
Jessica Biel.
It was a good, Jessica Biel was hot
the whole
in that
reason
movie.
To watch the movie is Jessica Biel.
And the humor of knowing that the center fielder had a thing for big boned women, if you want to call them that.
That's the cucumber salad part, too.
That was a good movie. I enjoyed that movie. And you know what? What was the Costner movie with the Tigers?
For Love of the Game.
For the Love of the Game was actually pretty good.
It was a decent movie. It's not a top five movie, but it's a good movie. It was the kind of movie that you could watch with your significant other, and she will be interested in it because of the love story aspect.
Yeah, the blonde chick. It wasn't Travolta's wife, was it?
Kelly Preston?
Was it Kelly Preston that was in For the Love of the Game?
I think so.
I think that might be right.
But, like, because of that aspect,
yeah, Kelly
of
Preston
it,
was in.
Like, you can get your significant other to watch. It's not just a pure baseball. The Rookie is a really good movie.
Sandlot, a lot of people love that movie.
The Sandlot is a good movie. I'm not saying The Sandlot is not a good movie. Sandlot is a good movie.
At least the Sandlot guy
has
the Sandlot.
Developed this, like, weird cult following.
Oh, they
where
love
there
it.
Are people who aren't necessarily really big baseball fans, but they're super Sandlot fans. It's like borders on the irrational.
Oh, they keep having reunions for him at Dodger Stadium. At least they dated one of the guys that was one of the kids. Not even when he wasn't a kid, but she one of the guys, I forget the character, the taller kid with the black hair. She dated at one point, but like they still ask all those guys back for Dodger Stadium reunions.
Well, I mean, with my generation, it was like that was my generation's first like cult classic when we were a kid. Like literally, every Friday we would go to Blockbuster and Sandlot. Like Sandlot was always my first choice. My parents would be like, "Why do you watch that movie every weekend?" I'd be like, "Because it's the best movie ever." So I've seen that so many thousands
now,
of times.
Can I say that Sandlot was actually Stand By Me, though sportsy?
I mean, yeah.
Stand By Me is another good movie.
That it's another one of the, like cult type.
Yes,
movies.
That's what I'm saying. It
Princess
goes under the
Bride
same umbrella, only it just had a little more of a sports theme.
Princess Bride, Never Ending Story, that type of.
Jerry, what's his name? In Stand By Me.
But what I heard
he
was Chopper,
Rebecca
sick
Romaine.
Balls.
He married Rebecca Romaine after she got divorced from John Stamos, and now he's a thin glamour boy. He was the chubby kid in Stand By Me.
Was he Barfarama?
He was chubby kid in Stand By Me.
Lard ass.
Yeah. Yeah. What the hell's his name? I know someone's already twitched it or
somebody said Jerry O'Connell.
Jerry O'Connell. There you go. That's absolutely right. All right, that's how we'll wrap up hour number two. We'll get back onto some more sports and stuff. Got some Texans news you might be interested in if you don't have a vested interest in whether the Texans win or lose, or maybe you'd like one. Maybe we have an in for you now as we get the third hour started. Don't go anywhere. It's the Press Box ESPN.
97.5.